What is the one thing that you worry about the most? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us today that we and God together cannot handle. You believe that? To the extent that you believe that, you can take on this Monday with all the challenges that Mondays sometimes bring. At work, school, at home, on the road, whatever it might be. And if you take it on with confidence, the challenges of Monday, it's only because you believe that God is with you, that God will never abandon you, that the kingdom of God is within, that Jesus said the Father and Jesus will come and make their home in you. That's where the powerhouse comes from, the dynamic experience of God dwelling in your heart and helping you. Now every Monday I devote to, this year, to dealing with worry. So let's start with our prayer. Come Holy Spirit, replace the tension within us with a holy relaxation. Replace turbulence within us with a sacred calm. Replace the anxiety within us with a quiet confidence. Replace the fear within us with a strong faith. Replace the bitterness within us with the sweetness of grace. Replace the darkness within us with a gentle light. Replace the coldness within us with a loving warmth. Replace the night within us with your day. Replace the winter within us with your spring. Come Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, as you know, I've been using the book How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Dale Carnegie to give you real life examples how people did overcome their worry, their fear, their anxiety that just consumed their lives. And we'll use another example today. But first, I want to share with you what I call the other 10 commandments. And these all have to do with how to deal with worry. Okay, number one, thou shalt not worry, for worry is the most unproductive of all human activities. Second commandment, thou shalt not be fearful, for most of the things we fear never come to pass. Third commandment, thou shalt not cross bridges before you come to them, for no one yet has succeeded in accomplishing this. The fourth commandment, thou shalt face each problem as it comes. You can only handle one at a time anyways. The fifth commandment, thou shalt not take problems to bed with you, for they make very poor bedfellows. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not borrow other people's problems. They can better care for them than you can. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not try to relive yesterday for good or ill. It is forever gone. Concentrate on what is happening in your life and be happy now. The eighth commandment, thou shalt be a good listener. For only when you listen do you hear different ideas from your own. It is hard to learn something new when you are talking, and some people do know more than you do. The ninth commandment, thou shalt not become bogged down by frustration, for 90% of it is rooted in self-pity and will only interfere with positive planning and action. And finally, the 10th commandment, thou shalt count thy blessings, never overlooking the small ones, for a lot of small blessings add up to a big one. That's good, isn't it? It's good. All right, now let's see how this plays out in an individual person's life, okay? Obviously, circumstances alone do not make us happy or unhappy. It is the way we react to circumstances that determines our feelings. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within you. That is where the kingdom of hell is, too. We can all endure disaster and tragedy and triumph over them if we have to. We may not think we can, but we have surprisingly strong inner resources that will see us through if we will only make use of them. We are stronger than we think. Now, what Dale Carnegie is going to do here is give an example. The late Booth Tarrington always said, I could take anything that life could force upon me except one thing, blindness. I could never endure that. Then one day, he was along in his 60s. Tarkington glanced down at the carpet on the floor. The colors were blurred. He couldn't see the pattern. He went to a specialist. He learned the tragic truth. He was losing his sight. One eye was nearly blind. The other would follow. That which he feared most had come upon him. And how did Tarkington react to this? Worst of all disasters? Did he feel, this is it? This is the end of my life? No, to his amazement, he felt quite happy. He even called upon his humor. Floating specks annoyed him. They would swim across his eyes and cut off his vision. Yet when the largest of these specks would swim across his sight, he would say, "Hello, there's Grandfather again. Wonder where he's going on this fine morning." How could fate ever conquer a spirit like that? Well, the answer is it couldn't. When total darkness closed in, Tarkington said, "I found I could take the loss of my eyesight just as a man can take anything else. If I lost all five of my senses, I know I would live on inside my mind. For it is in the mind we see, and in the mind we live, whether we know it or not." In the hope of restoring his eyesight, Tarkington had to go through more than 12 operations within 1 year, with local anesthetic. Did he rail against this? He knew it had to be done. He knew he couldn't escape it. So the only way to lessen his suffering was to take it with grace. He refused a private room at the hospital and went into a ward, where he could be with other people who had troubles too. He tried to cheer them up. And when he had to submit to repeated operations, fully conscious of what was being done to his eyes, he tried to remember how fortunate he was. "How wonderful," he said. "How wonderful that science now has the skill to operate on anything so delicate as the human eye." The average man would have been a nervous wreck if he had had to endure more than 12 operations and blindness. Yet Tarkington said, "I would not exchange this experience for a happier one." It taught him acceptance. It taught him that nothing life could bring him was beyond his strength to endure. It taught him, as John Milton discovered, that, quote, "It is not miserable to be blind. It is only miserable not to be able to endure blindness." So the saying is true, isn't it? Pain is inevitable, misery is optional. We choose, don't we? Now these are ordinary people. I'm not naming great mystical saints who had... These are ordinary people who made decisions. You know, we become what we choose. If I choose this, 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 and this, I become this kind of Father Scott. If I choose that, that, and that, and that, I become that kind of Father Scott. We choose. We choose to handle our Mondays either in a positive way or in a negative way. We choose to see the glass half full or half empty. We choose to see the good side of people or only the bad side of people. We choose to be patient or not patient. We choose to play the hand that's dealt us, or we choose to throw big pity parties, become a victim, rail against life, be miserable, make other people's lives miserable, throw big pity parties. You know, the choice is ours. We become what we choose. Why not choose to make the best? You know, if you got only lemons, make lemonade. Did I say that was easy? No, don't say to me, "Oh, you make it sound so easy." I know it's not easy. It's never been easy in my life. And growing old is not for sissies. Of course it's not easy. How could we possibly endure it? By the grace of God. How could we handle something that seems completely overwhelming? By the grace of God. How do we deal with anything, knowing that we're not alone, knowing that God is with us, that God will never abandon us, right? This is where you have to make an act of faith in whether Jesus is telling the truth or whether he's lying. Now, he says he's the way, the truth, and the life. Is he telling the truth where he says he will not abandon us, he will not leave us orphans? I mean, that scripture quote is one of the most comforting quotes that I have memorized. I will not leave you orphans. So no matter what the storms may be, and sometimes God calms the storms, and sometimes he lets the storms rage and he calms his child. No matter what the storms might be, I believe that I'm not an orphan. I believe I have a Father who created me, a brother named Jesus who died and rose from the dead to save me from my sins, and I believe that the Spirit of God dwells in me and constantly reminds me that I am loved unconditionally. And it's my faith in this God, this Trinity, this family of love, it's that kind of faith that helps me survive the challenges that my life brings, you know? The great writer Thomas Merton said, you can't lead people out of the desert unless you've been there yourself. So obviously God's going to make me walk my walk before I talk my talk. God wants me to practice what I preach. And is that easy? No, it's not easy. But we're talking about amazing grace here, right? Okay, here's today's food for thought. It comes from Imamu Amiri Baraka. Make some muscle in your head, but also use the muscle in your heart. Okay? Make use of some muscle in your head, but also make use of the muscle in your heart. And together, as you make the head and heart connection, God can do wonderful things in and through you. Who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for captains of ships, especially those who go up and down our rivers and across the ocean. If they're carrying cargo, but especially if they're carrying people. If they're carrying oil, we don't want oil spills. Dear God, bless all ship captains. Keep them safe from harm. Let them use their talents for the honor and glory, your honor and glory. Help them not to be addicted to anything that will blind them from doing their job well. And I ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. Once a Catholic policeman was asked what he would do in a tense situation if he saw a crowd gathering. He said, I would take up a collection. Want to contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you, okay? I love to know that people listen to my program. You can send me your prayer intentions. I will storm heaven with you and for you. If you can give me a check to keep my hospital for the poor open in Oaxaca, Mexico, I would greatly appreciate it. You make the check to TASH. It stands for the Anna C. Toller Hospital. Tash, Inc. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And if you use the Internet, I think you'll very much enjoy my website. The radio show is on there. You can listen to it at your convenience. Website address is Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee.